Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Kings chapter 13. The Word of God is prophetic. It's the prophetic word is what it's referred to as in the book of Peter. And so being it is prophetic, in other words, inspired of the Spirit of God, God's power is all over it. The Bible says, Jeremiah said he's watching over his word to perform it, to bring it to pass. So when we yield ourselves to the Word of God, we cooperate with the Word of God, we are yielding to the power of God. Now that's true concerning the prophetic written Word of God and also the prophetic inspired Word of God that can come forth through one of his prophets, through one of his ministers, maybe even through another believer that's yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about prophetic, being prophetic, prophetically significant, we're talking about an inspired moment that serves as a trigger point to a spiritually inspired shift in the natural course of things. This is the definition the Lord gave me. I wanted a definition of prophetic significance. And this is what he gave me: an inspired moment that serves as a trigger point to a spiritually inspired shift in the natural course of things. A spiritually inspired opportunity to assist humanity supernaturally. It's a spiritual key that unlocks supernatural intervention. And so we see that, an example of that, in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, and in verse 14. It says, Elisha, this was God's prophet, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. He's quoting there what Elisha had said when his spiritual father, Elijah, was taken up into heaven in chariots of fire. So here's the king, King Joash, standing there with Elisha, who's close to dying. Verse 15, and Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Verse 18, then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Now this is an amazing illustration of how important it is to cooperate with the Lord in some very small, what seems to be an insignificant thing. Here, the prophet says, now this arrow, these arrows are now anointed with prophetic significance. These arrows will deliver this whole nation from the Syrians. So he says, now shoot the arrows. And by the way the king shot, it showed that he was kind of, you know, not taking it very seriously. It seemed maybe too silly for him. But notice the man of God upset because he understood the prophetic significance behind what they were doing. And because the man didn't fully cooperate in this very little thing of shooting some arrows into the ground, they weren't going to completely annihilate their enemies. They would only have some deliverance, but they wouldn't have complete deliverance or complete victory. Now you look at it and say, how could that be so significant? I'm telling you, there are a lot of things in life that work the same way. There's a lot of little things that the Lord would have us to do in the natural that would be acts of faith to release His spiritual power on our behalf. We got to remember that there's more going on in our life than what meets the eye. There are spirits all around us. There are supernatural forces that are all around us. We've got angels, we've got demons, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. All these powerful forces are here influencing us and wanting to be a part of what we do in life. So we have to recognize that and realize we're not just going through this life just doing natural things, that there are spiritual consequences to the things that we do in life. And of course, we want to experience Holy Ghost spiritual consequences in our life. We don't want to experience demonic consequences in our life. Right? I mean, we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. God tells Adam not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of any tree. You can eat the fruit of any tree, but don't partake of that one tree. Seems so insignificant. We're just talking about a tree with some fruit. What could be so bad? What could be such a big deal to eating this fruit? And so they were seduced by the devil and they yielded themselves to eating and partaking of the tree of which God told them not to. And what was the result? Immediately, darkness, spiritual darkness came upon the earth. The earth came under a curse. Satan now began to rule over the earth and man became a slave to sin. Just by that one act, the whole earth and human race was forever changed. Just by that one act. See, because there was spiritual significance attached to the fruit of that tree. And so it's the same thing today. It didn't just stop with Adam in the very beginning. There are things like that throughout our entire life that are determining our success or failure in life, our victory or our defeat. You know, you go back to the walls of Jericho. Here is this mighty army in Jericho, this great city surrounded by these big, thick walls. I mean, the walls were so thick, people lived inside the walls of that city. And here the Israelites, I don't know what kind of weapons they had made out there in the wilderness, you know. And they come, they approach this massive city, these massive walls, and God has a very strategic military plan for them to follow. And it's for them to march around the walls. And he tells them how many times, for how many days, to march around the wall. But thank God these Israelites believed God. They trusted in him. They trusted in his plan and didn't go by what they saw with their eyes. Had they gone by what they saw, they would have thought, I am not marching around those walls. They've got chariots on the other side of that wall. They've got an army on the other side of those walls. I'm not going near those walls. But these were a people of faith. I mean, they had great faith. They went out there, they marched around the walls after doing that for 7 days. On the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times and then blew trumpets and shouted. That was it. And what happened? The walls came down flat. Now, this isn't just some little Sunday school teaching. You know, some little fairy tale. This is reality. This really happened, and this is how God works in our life today. It doesn't matter the size of the walls. It doesn't matter what's against you. There are more with us than there are against us. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. And the Lord is on our side. The Lord, God Almighty, is with us. And so if he says, walk around the walls and shout, then bless God, open your mouth and shout. Well, I'm just not in the mood to shout. Well, die. Now, you see, shouting is too easy. What we need to do is we need to go see a psychiatrist. Shouting's too easy. We need to go to the bank and see if we can get a loan. Shouting is too easy. We're going to have surgery. We're going to have to go to the doctor, and we're going to have many, many different tests and weeks of tests and take all kinds of medication and do all kinds of things in our own strength. But when it comes to shouting, oh, I'm just not in the mood for that. That's too hard. That's too difficult. And yet that could be your answer. If God's inspiring it, if God's inspiring a shout, then bless God, it might just be the only thing that you need to do in whatever situation you may be facing. He just might need a good shout from you. And through that shout, God moves on your behalf. Not everything, but there are some things that are heavily spiritually charged with prophetic significance. The power and influence of supernatural forces are all over it. You know, I think of Samson's hair. That's a pretty silly thing. God says, don't cut your hair. He grows up to be taught by the Spirit not to cut his hair. So he never cuts his hair. And this great supernatural power that he possessed was all in his hair being let to grow. Let your hair grow. And you'll have supernatural power to be able to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, their enemies, who are oppressing them. So as long as he didn't mess with his hair, they had victory against the Philistines. Nobody could harm this man. He was like he was indestructible. But then the day came where his hair was cut. And when his hair was cut, have you ever gotten a haircut? When his hair was cut, he lost his power. He lost his ability to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And once again, the Israelites came under bondage to the Philistines because a man cut his hair. But it wasn't just normal hair. God's inspiration was all over it. His hair had prophetic significance attached to it. So you see, again, there are little things that can have a big effect on our lives. Over here in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses, the Bible says that Moses was out in the wilderness feeding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. He's about 80 years of age. And it says in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So Moses is walking along, and suddenly this image catches his attention. He sees this bush on fire, but it's not being consumed. It's not burning up. And so it says, he looked. And then verse 3 says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So he looked, and he saw the bush on fire, But then notice verse 3. He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And from that point on, God began to have this incredible relationship with Moses. He called him, anointed him, empowered him to go back to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. All because Moses said, I will now turn aside and look. And I love this. It says, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called. In other words, if Moses didn't yield himself, if he didn't turn aside to look, it's a good chance he might have spent another 40 years out in the wilderness. And of course, he was getting up there in age, so he couldn't afford another 40 years out in the wilderness if he was going to be used by God. Right? Just a simple turning aside to look. How many times have we ever felt led to look at something? God is drawing us. God is trying to get our attention. But then we think, I can't. I'm too busy. I got to go. I got places to go. I got people to see. I got things to do. And we may have missed some really powerful divine intervention, because God was moving in that situation. We were too busy to turn aside and look because we had things we had to make right. But had we turned aside and look, the moment we did, God would have moved on our behalf and those things would have been made right for us. And we wouldn't have had to work for so many years to try to fix things. Think about it. Just a simple turning aside to look. I'm reminded of the scripture over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, where it says in verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly or unknowingly entertained angels. Don't forget to entertain strangers. You know, we see that in the Word of God. There were times where there are angels that came. Here, there's an angel in this bush that was on fire. Moses said, I'll turn aside. Now, I see it, but I'm going to turn aside and really look at this. I'm going to really examine this. I want to understand. I want to get understanding of this. And because he did, God saw it, and God moved on his behalf. And the Word of God exhorts us, says, hey, you know, don't be in such a rush. I know it's 2017 and you're busy. You've got a lot of texting to do, a lot of emails to be read. We understand there's a lot going on in our life, but we got to watch because there may be some angelic, supernatural help that's standing right by you, ready to intervene on your behalf. And all of heaven is watching to see what you're going to do with it. God's help is there. But many times, I believe, we miss it and we run off. But we need to understand there is more going on in this world than just natural things. There are spiritual things all around us all the time. There are spiritual things that want to help us, assist us, and make things easy for us and cause us to be blessed. And there are things trying to rob us, plunder us, destroy our lives. And we don't want to just run through life ignorant of these things. We want to be aware of these things. Just like Moses turned aside to look, and God saw it and moved on his behalf, that also works in the negative as well. Notice over here in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs the 7th chapter, because there are spirits that want to harm us. Nothing we need to fear if we'll endeavor to yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But notice here in Proverbs chapter 7 and in verse 6, he says, for at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding passing along the street near her corner. And the her that he's talking about there is an immoral woman. We can just say an immoral person. And so he meets up with her. And in verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to, what? Yield. She caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart, what? Turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Notice this here. Here's this young man, and he lacks understanding. And so he turns aside after being seduced in the flesh. He turns aside to this immoral woman, and notice what happens. It says an arrow struck his liver. His liver is symbolic there of inward parts, talking about the spirit. An arrow struck him. He didn't know it was going to take his life. What is this arrow? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians that we are to take up the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan has fiery darts. I said Satan has fiery darts. He's got some arrows. And we have to understand that we are in a spiritual world, actually in a spiritual battle. There are spiritual forces all around us. But remember, there are more with us in the kingdom of God than there are with them in the world. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, we got a lot of promises that we don't have to worry about these evil forces all around us. When Jesus came, he disarmed principalities and powers. He defeated the devil and gave us authority over demons to be able to trample them under our feet by using the name of Jesus, by speaking the word of God. We never have to fear demons. Hallelujah. But notice here, just a simple turning aside, just in the same way God saw Moses turn aside, looked and moved on his behalf, Satan would like us to turn aside to things that he flickers and puts in front of us in order to be able to move in our lives against us. We have to understand that a simple turning aside could be more consequential than we might realize. It might not just be a natural turning aside to look, if it is spiritually full of prophetic significance. If there is prophetic significance, if there is inspiration on it, then there's more going on than what meets the eye. So we have to watch ourselves. I believe that when we come together for church, like here today, prophetic significance, there are trigger points all throughout this service. And God is moving. Angels are in position. And if we'll cooperate, see, it's sad because our society today has turned church into just a meeting place where we come together, sing a couple songs, hear a teaching, and then we go home and try to remember some of the things that were taught. We have to realize God's much bigger than that. And when he designed church, he designed it much bigger than that. He packs the services, if we'll let him. He packs it with the power of his presence. He packs it with the power of the Holy Spirit. He places himself all over everything that's going on. This is God's house. This is God's time with his people. And he wants to move, and he wants to destroy yokes. He wants to remove burdens. He don't want to just talk to you. He wants to transform you. He wants to set you free. And you don't want to miss a single service because God wants to move on your behalf. You got to turn aside and see what he's doing. You got to turn aside to get understanding of what he's saying and what he's doing. You don't want to just sit there and think that you're just filling a chair and filling up some time. No. God sees this morning you have turned aside. And you've come before his burning bush. And there are things he wants to do that are life transforming. Could change your life forever. Could set you on a completely different course than the course you are currently on. Some of you think, I'm on a pretty good course. Well, get ready. God's got even a better one. Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So as good as it is, he could get better. And you might be struggling. You might be dealing with stuff. I'm telling you, God is moving on your behalf already just because you've moved into this place. Now, don't underestimate the power and moving of the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate God and what he's doing. And so when we say shout under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when anointed ministers say shout, or an anointed minister says, say amen. Amen. Cooperate. Get in on it. Well, that's ridiculous. No, it's your releasing your faith. It's your it's your yielding yourself to something the Spirit of God is doing and not just mere men. Now, there are a lot of churches where it's just mere men. You know, they get down, they plan the whole thing beginning to end. And I mean, you know, they're going to do it a certain way. It doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit wants to say or do. They've got an agenda they want to accomplish. A lot of churches are thinking about church growth, church growth. We do this, the people will like it, and they'll get more people to come. And they're thinking about church growth, and they're not thinking about the people growing spiritually. They're not thinking about the people that are already there being delivered and healed and coming up to a higher level spiritually, walking closer with the Lord. So because of that, a lot of times, there isn't a whole lot going on. There isn't much prophetic significance in those kind of places. But I can tell you this morning, in this place, it's all about the prophetic. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about the prophetic written word of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit, what he wants to say, what he wants to do. There's been so many times I've left service thinking to myself, if they only knew how much it was you, Lord, talking to the Lord. If they only knew how much it was you. But I've had people think, well, you got a great personality, talking to me as the pastor. You have a lot of charisma. I had to tell one lady, I said, honey, it ain't charisma. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop reducing it to just personalities. Stop reducing it to just something in the natural and in the flesh. This is supernatural. I'm looking for the supernatural. I mean, this word, you know, that came to me yesterday, I sit before the Lord in prayer. He gave me this word to minister today because it's his word to us. It's his word in season to us. We need to hear this. We need to be aware. God wants, well, where is God? Why aren't I seeing him doing more in my life? The question is why we don't see him doing more in life. The question is, what is he doing that we're not recognizing? What is he doing that we're not recognizing? What are we missing? What are we not yielding to? What are we not cooperating with? How many people believe God is for you? Yeah, so he's for you all the time. He's looking to do things all the time. So we need to be open. Open to him. Now, just like God's anointed ministers with prophetic significance, in other words, the things that they do is done prophetically, inspired of the Spirit of God, thus causing God's power to be on it, to bring about supernatural results in our life, in the same way God has done that in the church, the devil has done that in the world. He's got entertainers that are doing things that are prophetically significant, but it's the wrong spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. There are wrong spirits on a lot of these entertainers. And so when people begin to give themselves over to a lot of these entertainers in the world, they're putting themselves in a position for the enemy to be able to afflict and do things on their behalf. How many people know there are forces always trying to lure you away, draw you away from the right way. The Spirit's always trying to lure you away, draw you away, and we need to be aware of that and just watch what we watch. Watch where we go. Watch what we partake of. Let's not just think it's just all natural. It's just physical. It's just, there's nothing spiritual here. Let's be spiritually sensitive and consider, is the devil on this? Is this of God or is this of the enemy? Because there are things that that get a hold of people, that just grab a hold of them. And next thing you know, people turn aside to stuff, and now they're so captivated by it, they become in bondage to it for the rest of their lives. There are things that people have turned aside to that they cannot get free of. And why can't they get free of? Because it wasn't just something natural they turned aside to. The moment they turned aside to look, to participate in it, shackles, spiritual shackles came on them. And now they're in bondage. They're in bondage. And they can't get out of it. Because it's going to take more than just something physical to break that spiritual bondage. A lot of these bondage people, things that people are struggling with, it's not just natural. There are demons involved in it. But thank God, God anoints things and does things and encourages us to turn aside to Him. And if we do, by turning back to Him, turning to Him and cooperating with Him, those bondages can be broken just as easily as those bondages were placed on a person. Person just turn aside and bam, now they're in bondage. So easy. Satan just, boom, spiritual shackles. Now they don't have control over their will anymore. Something else is controlling them. But you can get free from those things just as easily as you got bound by them, by turning aside and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and He will destroy those yokes and remove those burdens. Can you say amen? I mean, Jesus, how many people know, everything He did was full of prophetic significance. I mean, when Jesus did stuff, it was anointed. It was full of supernatural power to do a transforming work in people's lives. People that were bound with things all their life were set free. By people that were born with terrible conditions couldn't get set free. No man could help them. And with only a word full of prophetic significance, boom, the people that yielded to those words were immediately set free. Immediately set free. In Matthew 8, verse 16, it says that Jesus, He cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. How people know it's not hard for God to cast out a devil. I got news for you. You know, people have this idea. They think that God and the devil are having this big fight, you know. There's no big fight going on. The fight is between man and the devil and God. Is man going to yield to the devil or is man going to yield to God? That's where the fight is. But when we yield to God, only a word. Only a word will drive the devils out. Somebody say, freedom is easy. Freedom is easy, friends. It is easy with God. With God. Now, trying to do things in yourself to try to free yourself, you might never get there. You know? You might be able to help yourself, enhance your life a little bit, improve on things, but there's only so far you're going to be able to go in your own strength. But with God, just a word, and these big, bad, ugly demons that have controlled a person's life for a very long time can be suddenly totally, totally delivered. Can you say amen? Amen. With a word, He cast the spirits out. There was another case of a woman whose child was severely demon-possessed. And this woman comes crying out to Jesus for help. And Jesus at first is not, He doesn't seem like He's paying any attention to her. He didn't seem like He's interested in helping her. But He understood where this woman was at. And he understood that she needed to come to a place of brokenness and humility. Well, she got to that place. And Jesus said to her, it's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. Speaking of the healing, he called it the children's bread. Do we have any children of God in here? Yes. Healing is the children's bread. It's your bread. Praise God. It belongs to you. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the little dog. He's calling this woman a dog. Obviously knowing by the Spirit how she was probably living her life. I mean, how else does your child become severely demon-possessed? Unless the parents are doing some pretty awful things. So he calls her a little dog. And she says, true, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus turned to her and said, daughter, for this saying, the demon has gone out of your daughter. For this saying, because you said those words, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Think about that. This woman in brokenness and in faith yielded to the Spirit of God and just spoke some very humble words. And when she did, her words released the power of God that completely set her daughter free. We don't know how long this daughter had been severely demon-possessed. And what did that look like? What kind of torment was this child going through? How many sleepless nights was this mother awake holding this child, trying to comfort her child as the child is being tormented, going through all kinds of terrible things? How much suffering was taking place in their lives? For how long? But for this one saying full of prophetic significance. And the daughter was completely set free. See, she became broken and yielded herself to the Holy Spirit. And that little small act, that little small statement had huge consequences in their life. Drove the devil out. See, a lot of times we're looking around for something really big and complicated to try to free us from our big and complicated issues. Something to deal with all this drama in our life. Many times, it's usually in something very small and what seems to be insignificant. But if yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's supernatural. It's powerful. It's life-changing. Can you say amen? Now, in the same way, demons can be driven out with a word. Demons can get in people by saying the wrong thing. This woman said the right thing and demons went out. You could say the wrong thing and demons come in. Notice this over here in Daniel chapter 4. How many people think it's important to know this? Oh, yeah. Daniel 4, very important we understand these things today. Because our problems and our answers are right here. They're right here in what we're hearing. We get a hold of this. Woo, glory to God. We're going to be able to protect ourselves from causing ourselves a lot of trouble. A lot of people have a lot of problems, have a lot of troubles in life. And sometimes it's because of the little tongue, just saying the wrong things. Or maybe it's yielding to the wrong thing. Or maybe it's just turning aside to the wrong thing. And next thing you know, years of affliction, years of suffering and premature death. Over what? A turning aside, a speaking the wrong thing. When we understand that, then we take our words, our actions more seriously, and we take what God is doing more seriously. And now we learn to yield and cooperate with Him, because no matter what kind of trouble we get ourselves in, it's no big deal for God to get us out of it. God can get us out of any trouble, anytime, no problem. Everybody said, no problem. It's not a problem with the Lord. Notice here in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 28, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon, this great empire. And it says in verse 28, All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. Let me just stop there. When it says all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, there was a prophetic word that came to the king through the prophet Daniel, warning him about what was going to happen to him. But he didn't take heed to the warning very well. And so it says in verse 29, at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. He became mad, crazy. He became possessed. That's exactly what happened here. This man, this king, here's this man, very wise king, very powerful. I mean, he's built this incredible empire, but he doesn't give God the glory for it. One day he looks out on, probably standing there on the balcony of his palace, looking at this great, vast kingdom. And he says, "Is this not Babylon that I have built with my own hands for my own splendor?" And the moment he took the glory of it all, the devil entered him. As soon as he spoke those words, the devil entered him, and he became possessed, and he was that way for 7 years until he was delivered. Thank God he was able to be delivered. And he was delivered by another prophetic word that came through Daniel the prophet. But when he spoke, it opened the door for demons to come in. His words had prophetic consequences attached to it. It opened the door for the enemy to come in. You got to watch. The enemy is always looking to get you to speak his words. You might have a thought. You might feel like you want to say something. But you need to check it. You need to check it. And look and say, "Do I want to say that? Is that what I really want to say? Do I really believe that?" He would love for you to say something like this. I knew a pastor that took the glory for his church and even for his wife. He was in a service. He was on television. He said on television, he was talking about the church and how he built it and all these wonderful things he did. And then he said, "You look at my wife and how dignified she is over there. And it's because of me and my influence in her life. She was a this and she was a that. But now look at her today because of me." It wasn't long after that, he went nuts. Absolutely, seriously. You wouldn't believe the stuff the guy's doing today and believing today. He lost his mind. Absolutely lost his mind. See, he yielded himself to demons, and the devil came in. But if we yield ourselves to God, God will come in. Hallelujah. God will come in, and you'll become like Samson. Doesn't matter what kind of thing has got you bound. Doesn't matter what kind of thing you yourself have gotten yourself bound with. Because you yield to the wrong thing. Let God in. And you'll outgrow those bondages. Huh? When God comes in, you just can't be bound with that stuff anymore. We got to believe in the prophetic significance of God's word and what God is doing in our midst and in our life. God is always looking to set us up, to get us into a place where we'll turn aside to him, cooperate with him, yield to him, so that he can begin to break things off of our life, so he can begin to transform our life. God wants to move on your behalf. He wants to do supernatural things more than he's ever been able to do before. We can't underestimate the powerful influence of God in our life, and we also can't underestimate the power of demons working through other people's lives and trying to gain access into our life. I've seen people just turn aside, just do these little things, and next thing you know, they're out of their minds. They've lost control of their whole life. Satan has complete control over them. Why? Because they, well, just one more time, it won't hurt anything. It's just a little thing. It might be a little thing, but it might also be attached to something a whole lot bigger than what you're seeing in the natural, in the physical. We have to understand that. If we'll understand that, then blessed be the name of the Lord, we'll be able to walk in victory. Victory, victory over the devil. Walk in the kind of blessing that God is looking to bless us with. We need to turn aside. We need to yield. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. How many believe God's in the house this morning? Yes. God's in the house. Yes. To the degree we believe it, to the degree he can move on our behalf and do things for us. He doesn't want people going out of here bound today. He wants everybody going out of here delivered, free. He wants you healed. He wants you happy. He wants you holy. Set apart for him. So the devil can't touch you. Can't mess with you. Can you say amen? Amen. And if you've turned aside to stuff, you know, and you recognize, say, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. I think I've opened the door to the enemy. I think I've given place to the devil. Well, don't be uptight about it. Just turn back to the Lord. Just turn back to him, because God hasn't forsaken you. He's still with you. And if he's for you, who could be against you? So you turn back to him and sincerely repent. And sometimes, just like that woman with her severely demon-possessed daughter, sometimes it's just a matter of getting down on your knees, humbling yourself before the Lord. Humbling yourself. I think of King Hezekiah. A prophet came to him and told him, set your house in order because you're going to die. King Hezekiah, he had some symptoms in his body. He called for the prophet, and the prophet told him, yep, you're going to die from this. Set your house in order. The prophet turned around and left. I mean, the prophet didn't even get out of the castle. And the king hit the floor, cried out to God, began to plead his case with tears for the Lord. The Bible says he was facing the wall, crying out to God. And before that prophet could get out to his chariot, the Spirit of God spoke to him, said, go back in there and tell him. 15 years were just added to his life. 15 years was just added to his life. Why? Because he fell on his face before God and repented, cried out to God in faith. And immediately he went from, hey, you're dying in a few days, to you got 15 more years. Now the Bible says, with long life he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. God's got not just 15 years. God's got a long life. But you see, based on what the king did and his current circumstances, he was able to get 15 more years. But perhaps there's some other things he could have done to even add it to that. And add it to that. And add it to that. If we'll follow God, he will add days to our life. He will add days to our life. He will increase us on the earth. He'll cause us to be able to live healthy, prosperous lives. But sometimes it's in those little acts. But you got to watch. Because those little acts can also disqualify you and disconnect you from the blessing of God. Because God's moving and we shrug our shoulders and we huff and we say, eh. We do just the opposite. God's crying out. God's trying to get something over to us. Maybe in a church service. It's not limited. God's not limited to a church service, but he does things in church service. And how many times people go, whatever. I don't know if I believe that. and they shrug it off. And what happens? They end up going out more bound. They actually gave place to the devil to do more damage in their life than good. And we were supposed to bring about a great blessing and an open door for God to move on their behalf. It became an open door to the enemy. So we have to what? Let's take ourselves seriously, what we say and what we do, and recognize that if I will yield myself to the Holy Spirit, I will have supernatural power working on my behalf to bless me. But if I shrug my shoulders at God and turn away from Him, then I'm opening the door to the enemy. I'm opening the door to spiritual problems, causing trouble for myself. Instead of causing trouble for ourselves, let's cause blessings for ourselves, right? Let's just stop causing trouble for ourselves. And let's cause blessings for ourselves. Man, in the littlest things you do, you can cause blessings for yourself. Can you say amen? So let's do it. Let's do what? Let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let's cooperate with God. Let's learn His ways. And even if we don't quite understand it, we just go ahead and throw ourselves in it and say, yes, Lord, count me in. I'm a believer. I trust. I'm not going to be a doubter. I'm not going to be a criticizer. I'm not going to be a complainer and a whiner. I'm going to be a believer of good things. I'm going to believe you're working on my behalf and you're moving on my behalf right now. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of another story in the Word of God. It was King Hezekiah. And they were surrounded by their enemies were coming. Armies that were greater than the armies of Israel. And they were coming. And God told the prophet, gave him a prophetic word. Gave him a word full of prophetic significance. And he said, you won't need to fight in this battle. He said, just go out there and position yourself with the praise and worship team. And begin to give praise and thanks to God. And so they obeyed the voice of God through the prophet. They believed the prophet. Went out there and yielded to this prophetic word. And began in the face of an army coming after them that was greater than them. They're out there praising God. They're out there shouting and praising God. And it says, as they were praising God, the Lord set ambushments. And all their enemies were wiped out. They never had to fight the battle. God fought the battle for them. Because they yield to the Holy Spirit in just praising God. They just did what the prophet said. And the power of God was released. And they didn't have to fight that battle. No one had to lose their life in war. Think about that. Glory be to God. It's all a matter of following the Holy Spirit. And if He gives us prophetic utterances, we want to cooperate with them. I said we want to cooperate with them. And if we'll do, it'll release the supernatural ability of God on our behalf, and it'll change things. Where they didn't have to even fight a battle because they praised Him when they were told to praise Him. Can you say amen? Amen. How many things can we be spared when the Lord says, praise Him? Huh? Yeah. Praise Him. Well, they're kind of obnoxious up there, always trying to get us to praise God. I'm not in the mood. Nobody tells me to praise God. I'll praise God when I feel like it. Nobody's going to make me praise anybody. Right? People do that. Thank God Hezekiah and the Israelites didn't heed that one. Thank God they heeded the prophet's voice and they praised him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.